because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, your fear is gone. Because I know, yes I know, he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives.
Hallelujah, Heavenly Father, we ask for your presence to be here with us this morning, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your love towards every one of us. Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Lord. We ask for your presence now, Lord, as we have this time of fellowship together. And the hearing of thy word, Lord, a little report of what's going on back up in the Philippines. We ask that, Lord, you help us to understand and be a part of this whole body of Christ, Lord, and in our best, Lord, endeavor to do what we are able to do, Father, as you put some talents into our life. And whatever gifts, Lord, that you have put into our life too, and we will be able to share it, Father. We thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, we'll just have one verse here. 1 John chapter 2 verse 5. Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now I was supposed to just remember this verse, and now just bring that out a little later. Now I was supposed to go to Nepal this last month, or in fact I will say this particular week, but the minister canceled the convention there because he was saying that there was some trouble. But Nepal has always been having a little trouble here and there, like many countries, perhaps the Philippines, you know, the Sri Lanka, there will always be a little trouble here and there. But of course there are other reasons why the trip was cancelled. Anyway, so I felt led to go to Iloilo, which is a city in the island of Negros in the Philippines. Last time I've been there was, I think, about some 4 years of five ago. I can't remember now. And when I was there, I helped build up the church. And the pastor came to know, actually, the very message that God gave it to us is why we have to come back to the absolute Word of God, which is the sacred written Word of God. And somehow, after about 2 years later or so, he took a trip to Manila. And there he met up with his old, some sort of a spiritual father to him or something like that. And that man, the pastor warned him, says, don't have anything to do with Brother Glenn. And he was with him for quite some time. He came back to Iloilo, to the little fellowship of his. And for a few weeks, he was preaching very contrary, so to speak. And Brother Andrew Durano, the one who actually corresponded with me, felt very upset that the way he was carrying on with the way he preached the mass, the Word of God. So he left the church and started to stay in the city Iloilo. Now the church is about an hour away from Iloilo, which is actually in the village. And of course, Brother Andrew and his wife just fellowship at home. He doesn't want to go to the church anymore. And he was just a few weeks later, about six members of that church came from the village and joined up with Brother Andrew in his home for fellowship. And Brother Andrew was very uncomfortable. He said, why don't you go back and stay with the pastor? You know, and they said, no, they can't, because of the way that the Word of God was mishandled, so to speak. So, so things continued the way it was, being on and off. So Brother Andrew felt that, you know, for them to come all the way from the village to the city and go back cost them a lot of money. it takes quite a while. It takes something like about 10 Singapore dollars, I believe, back and forth for them to come to the city and then go back. So Brother Andrew and his wife decided to rather for them, two of them, to go to the village and fellowship with them. So that's where now they are gathering in the home of a brother, which is only about a couple of maybe 100 meters away from that old church. So it's said to that these are the things that is going on all over Philippines. That's Brother Franco. Brother Franco get up, he said this. He told the congregation that he went down to one of the islands in the south to meet a minister. He says, a big man. I don't know whether it's Canada or USA or Europe. He doesn't want to mention the name or the country. So he's a big man. So I went to, he went to his hotel room and to talk with him. And he took out a book. And the book was highlighted. A paragraph was highlighted. And he said, Brother Franco, look at this. Do you not think that Brother Gan think that he is more important than Brother Branham? Huh? This paragraph here, does it not mean that Brother Gan make himself more important than Brother Branham? Brother Franco told him, he says, why don't you go, I'm not the author of the book, why don't you write to Brother Gan or talk to him face to face? You know, this is one of the hypocritical behavior of many, you know, Caucasian ministers, either from the Philippines, I mean, either from America, Canada, or from Europe. Let us to sow seeds of discord. You know, you every one of you here, sincerely, out of you who have read all my books, all my writings, and have heard me preach, is there ever any time that I proved myself to be better than Brother Branham? Have I any time claimed that I'm far higher than Brother Branham? I don't know how people can read a book and twist and turn words. Brother Jackson did it. Ewart Frank did it. And many of the American minister that I know did the same. Dalton Bruce did it. And you proved to them, said, read carefully what I wrote. Does it show anything else than merely what it says here? Except your mind, when you don't like what I preach, you want to turn it around and create discord, create fear in the life of believers. You understand that? And let me say this one more time, because I'm going to put this on the internet anyway. God sent a prophet for what reason? To turn us back to the word. To get us out from Babylon. Mystery Babylon. The real Babylonian empire is an empire of chaos, of confusion, because of the many idolatry and religion that they have. And it's an empire that's full of lust, fornicating spirit. That's why the book of Revelation used Babylon to type the spiritual religious side of Christianity. Come on, all my people, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And Mystery Babylon is the mother of harlots that presents the Catholicism. And she had many daughters, mother of harlots, mother of many harloting women, which of course are denomination. So we are called to come out of her, because God has been judging her. And when we come out, where do we go? Where do we go? Where do they fellowship who come out of Babylon? Answer the question. Where do they worship who comes out? Who come out of Babylon? Where do they worship? Except in the Word of God. Is that right? What is the name of Jesus Christ? God said, there's only one place. I will place my name. Where is that place? It's not here. It's not Jeffersonville. It's not Graham Tabernacle. It's not Crawford, Germany. That place is named in the Word. That's the place where you must gather to worship. It's alright? So the purpose of the message is when you come out, is to come back to this Word and gather in His name. The place. God said there's only one place I place my name. One place where you must worship, you can worship. No other place. Not even in Jerusalem. Huh? It's in the Word of God. And so when Brother Ben passed away, we will say this. Every church age, one messenger passed away, the age and a new age start off with a new messenger. Is that right? Luther passed away, came forth Wesley. Wesley passed away, came forth Pentecost. Pentecost fade away, the message came through Brother Branham. Is that right? Brother Ben delivered the message, he must pass away. If he passed away, what came now? Not another man. Not me. Not Jackson. Not you, what Frank. Who came now? What came? What ministry takes over? But the fivefold ministry. Because you have the message to bring you back to the Word, and as Paul the Apostle said, Christ, when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. Is that right? For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and so on, till we all, the saints of God, come to maturity. So that we will not be tossed to and fro with all kinds of winds of doctrine and cunning craftiness of men. So we are here. I'm nobody. I'm just a servant of God in the fivefold ministry. But these people are telling people, because you know what? The Philippines is been very much Americanized. Americanized. Porcelainized by the American spirit. You know, Philippines has been... you see, the Philippines is a hollow, hollow country. You know, hollow, hollow, H-A-L-O, H-A-L-O. Hollow, hollow means mixture. Salad, like a bowl of tossed salad. All kinds of vegetables inside, you know. It's a hollow, hollow country. Why? We had the Portuguese there. You had the Spanish there. Huh? What else were there? Japanese were there. The Chinese were there. The Americans were there. The Indians were there. So not only they intermarried so much, and the American especially, because of the Second World War. General MacArthur was there in Leyte Island, and he says, I'll be back. Sure, and the American spirit went back to the Philippines. And the Philippines are so much controlled by the American spirit. They want to be like American, the freedom and this and that, and so much trouble there in the Philippines. Just like American, you can have a gun. In the Philippines, they also have guns. Try carrying a gun in Singapore and see what happened to you. You know, you say, oh, we are not safe without guns. But you think you are safe with more guns? And look at America, the killing, huh? You know the killing, the gun shootout? You see, this has become a norm now. Because of what happened earlier, a couple of years earlier, one case after another, huh? Now you will be seeing more people going off there to the school and start shooting the student and the professor and the lecturer. America has gone down the hill. It's finished. The prophet of God said it's finished. But here we are. We have a fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. If you said, as I said this very time, if I ask the ministers, what's your ministry? I'm an evangelist. Okay, good. They accept it. I'm a pastor. They accept it. I'm a teacher. I accept it. But the moment you say you're an apostle, and your heart says, wow, who think this guy is? Come here, an apostle. I'm not afraid to identify my ministry. I don't identify my ministry many years ago. But God said, that wouldn't work. And He showed me that Paul said, I'm an apostle of the Lord and you must identify your ministry. And that's what it is. Brother Branham was a star messenger. There's no more star messenger now. Then who are you, brother Gam?
I'm just an apostle of God.
In the fivefold ministry, in the church of God, part and parcel of the whole body of Christ around the world.
Like people are asking, my brother, when have you been to China? Why don't you go to China? Why don't you go to Europe? I said, that's not my business. It's God's business.
You believe that?
Huh?
It's God's business to save souls. It's not my business to save souls. He works through me to save. He works through you to save. He works through you to be a witness of the gospel. Do you understand? So when He moves you to save souls, then you have to obey. So if He doesn't move me to China or to Europe, why should I go? I can't go when He doesn't direct. You get a point. So there is nobody else who's considered the only messenger. Oh, yeah, in America there are a few. We have one in Mississippi, Missouri. Odell Fadrick, who believed that he is the one. Now we have the mentor of Elijah. We have one over in New Zealand. I don't know whether he's still alive or not. We have a couple in Africa. One over in Europe. One over in South America. Yes, there are plenty of them. But there is no such thing now. The Bible says it's a fivefold ministry working together to build up the body of Christ to perfect them. So we are people that sow discord. I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16 to 19. These six things do the Lord hate. Yeah, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devised wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among their brethren. Now, there are those that would just ask him, is this not what Brother Gann trying to say that he's better than Brother Branham? More important than Brother Branham? Or whatever they want to use the word to try to sow a discord. Just like Brother Nice, being that he was in Nigeria when he came here and he went back, and all this minister whom he knew was upset with him. For what? For being associating with me. So how could you associate with Brother Gann? And he asked, what's wrong with Brother Gann? Oh, he believed this. And Brother asked them, one man. Says, have you heard Brother Gann preached before? Have you ever heard him preach? No. Then who told you all this? Is it not told to be to you by a white man, an American preacher, maybe a Canadian or something? And that minister shut up. You can hear, there are a lot of people out there, even in Singapore. In the past, they create all kinds of things, they say all kinds of things about me, sowing discord to put fear in the believers for coming to have fellowship with us. Here in this fellowship, you and I know, every one of you who have been with me all these years, we stand for the Word of God. We don't stand for Brother Branham. If you stand in the Word of God and I stand in the Word of God, Brother Branham stands in the Word of God, then we all stand together in the same place. Is that alright? If you have the truth, I defend the truth that you have. Is that right? Brother Branham preached a message, taking side with Jesus. Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come. There's a line drawn. One side is the Lord. The other side is the other people. The others, we'll call them. So which side do you want to stand? Which side do you think Brother Branham stood? Which side do you think Brother Branham will stand? Where do you think he stood? He stood on the Lord's side.
So if you are not on the Lord's side, you are not with Him. Then you are on the other side. There are always two sides. The truth and the error. And truth is only found in the Word of God. Did not Jesus Christ said that? Thy truth, O God. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Not the courts of Brother Branham. Not the courts of Billy Graham. Not the courts of Oral Roberts. Or Benny Hinn or any person. You know, these ministers over there in the Philippines know me so long already. And I told them, I said, never quote me. You have to preach the truth. Preach from the Bible. I taught it. You understand it. You have the revelation from God. Then you preach straight from the Bible. Don't you ever mention my name. You can mention Brother Branham, but don't mention my name. Because the moment you mention my name, they said that's the doctrine of Brother Gann, not the doctrine of God. And that's why also Dumanon had been challenged like this when he went down to Davao in Mindanao one time to talk to some of these other ministers in the message, try to talk about the Godhead because they couldn't understand the Godhead problem. Brother also never mentioned my name. And then one of the ministers said, oh, but that is Brother Gann's teaching. Brother also said, all these past hours, did I ever mention Brother Gann? He shut up. If I show it from the scripture, Brother also said, if I show it from the scriptures, and you know that it's truth, don't say it's from Brother Gann. It's from the Lord. Isn't it so? You cannot read the Bible and say, oh, that's Paul's teaching. That is Peter's teaching. That is James' teaching. If all those teachings were truth, you said it's from the Lord. Paul was only a servant of God. Peter was only a servant of God. So was Moses. God used men as vessels to channel His truth. And I said this, that you know what? Christ is God's packaged love. You know, God is love, my Bible said. God is love. And He packaged His love in Jesus Christ and give it to you the day that He was born. He gave you that love. But what then? The Bible said we know. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we know that Jesus Christ, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was begotten, and the Word was God, and the Word was manifest. Christ was the Word of God, made manifest in human form, in a package of flesh. Isn't that right? Yes. And that's how God channeled His love, His truth. All that God is truth. Light. The Bible said God is light. And He packaged that through Jesus Christ to give it to you. In Him is no darkness. In Christ is no tradition. Don't bring a Catholic tradition or a Methodist tradition. God is not in that. Tradition is darkness. Darkness is tradition. God is light. In Him is no tradition. In Him is no darkness. In Him is no falsehood. He is light. He is truth. He is revelation. And Jesus said, Thy word, O Lord, is truth. That's where truth is found. Not in any person, but in the person, Jesus Christ. Huh? No other. Brother John preached in a little short sermon. Important of getting the Holy Spirit, and that is so true. If you don't have, you're not sure, you need to really pray and ask the Lord to show it to you. And Brother Jimmy talks about the small deeds. You know, if you really care, what are the small things we perform mean a whole lot to the body of Christ. So people are sowing discord, and this brother give the answer. Say, don't ask me that. Don't sow discord between me and you, and me and Brother Gann. You know, all these years I have yet to receive letters from all this American and Canadian preacher to ask me questions. But when they sat beside me, when they sat with me, those in the past sat with me. And when I show them the scripture and ask them questions, they can't even answer the simple question. And that's why the minister from Germany, When they ask questions, when they ask him questions, he couldn't answer them. He can write books, he can preach, but he cannot answer questions. And he got upset and he says, you know, I come here to preach, not to answer questions. Huh. The brothers were shocked. Do you know the Bible said, we should give an answer to all men regarding our faith? And did not the prophet Barabbas said, when you are responsible to answer the question that comes from your people. How can we brush the question aside? And that's why it takes one man, that John Kenneth, who was in Tucson Tabernacles for 10 or 12 years, got no answer from the pastor. And all the answer he said he always got was, well, if you don't understand it, just believe it anyway. Huh? If you don't understand it, just believe it anyway. Oh my. It's okay to say, I don't understand what is H2O. H is hydrogen. And O is oxygen. And I know these are gas. Two parts of hydrogen, hydrogen gas, and one part of oxygen gas combined together form water. Is that right? But how do they form into water when they are gas? Maybe I don't understand, but I know water is water. I can accept it. You understand what I'm saying? But when it comes to doctrine and truth of God, to try to ask you to explain about the original sin, you do not know. Explain about Godhead, you don't know. Like the Trinity, Trinitarian. Explain about your Trinity. Well, I know God is one and God is three. I don't know, that's all I know. The Bible says, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, there are three in one. How could it be? Well, you don't understand, don't believe it, just believe the Bible. Then the Bible says one God, the Bible says, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, just believe it. That's no revelation. What is revelation? Something that is revealed to you. Here's a little booklet. You know, I know this man sent me a whole bunch of these quotes of Brother Branham. And he's interpreting Brother Branham. In this here, he's talking about doctrine faith. He's talking about faith. If you want, you need healing. So you need to believe the word of God, God's promise. Believe in it. You've got to believe it. Good. Then you say here, faith is the substance. Question. So what is rapture faith? Answer, the substance. Then I don't get nothing out of that. Faith is the substance. So what is rapture faith? The substance. To have this faith, you must believe all the things that the prophet, as brought by him, and the Bible taught on the subject. Taught on the subject. Okay, what do you mean by taught on the subject? You know, I still don't get it. Oh, Brother Bam said this. I just believe. Yeah, I believe the Bible. I believe about Brother Bam. Does it mean that you get it? All the substance. Do you? Remember, faith is now. Your glorified body is a substance. It is now, not in the future. This is not glorified body, brothers and sisters. That's a lie. This man is telling you a lie. That's how we... What a mess we have in this end time message around the world. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do I have salvation? Yes, I have salvation. Do I have eternal life now? Yes, I have eternal life now. Do I have a glorified body now? No! And he told you to believe that you have it now. Hey, Brother John, if you have a glorified body, walk through the wall. Show me. Could you walk through the wall? You said they are talking... They just don't know the word. Merely trying to interpret Brother Abraham's statement. Why don't they look into the word of God? If they are a minister of God, they will hear from God. Not try to take the tapes of Brother Abraham and the books of Abraham and try to understand these things. And in the end, they make a mess of themselves, make a mess of people's life, make a whole cult out of this anti-message. That's terrible. That's why you know why I stand and rebuke. And those ministers in the Philippines knew. And that's the reason why they appreciate me. They always respect me. Because they know where I stand. I have taught them all these years. And they are able to now stand on their own and teach it the way they should be taught. And so I enjoy just to listen to them in the minister's meeting. And then give them some guideline. Like one minister went up there and talked about the Godhead. He said, we have one Godhead. I went up there, I said, brother, that's not true. Don't misuse words. We have only one God, not one Godhead. Godhead is the word derived from the word Godhood. How God redeemed himself through childhood as a boy, as a child, maybe as boyhood, teenagehood, manhood. God redeemed himself through this process. The mystery of God. And that's why in Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Mystery revealed in Christ. How God came. So I was, you know, I enjoyed them in the sense that I learned from what they speak to. Or they were sharing. The brother Nona shared some of the things very simple. I enjoyed the way he was bringing out the true soul. And another brother brought up the one, either was there 1 week left for the Jew, or is that 3.5 years left for the Jew, 7 years left, or 3.5 years. Of course, there was some of the people believe there is only 3.5 years left. So brother Ray came up and shared with the ministers. And he was using all the quotes of Brother Branham to show what Brother Branham is trying to say. And he quoted all the paragraph, and we all had a good laugh. He said, because he was quoting many places, Brother Branham said, you know, in the midst of the week, he caused the oblation to cease. Then he said, you know, there's 3.5 years left, Brother Branham said, he quoted. Okay, if I ever understand that. Then another place, Brother Branham said, in the midst of the 3.5 years. Now in the midst of the 3.5 years, we only got how many? 3.5 there by Papa is 1 year and 3/4. So now he was showing that. Problem, you know the error of speech, human speech? Problem in the midst of the 3.5 years, in the midst of the last half of the 70th week. It's not in the midst of the last half of half of the 70th week. It's the midst of the 70th week. So that brother was trying to show, you know, if he were to take court, we really could form any doctrines out of it. Alright? Alright, let's just go look a few more verses of scriptures and then we're closed. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 17. He that speaketh truth show forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Now I'm talking about liars. Not people who just sow discord. People with lying tongues. People who bear false witness. These are abominations that God hates. And it's serious. I'm telling you that it's very serious. The Bible teaches us to speak the truth in love. There are those that ask me, brother, what do you think about this certain minister? I say, what do you ask? Because I want to know. Then I tell you the truth in love. If I don't know him, I don't know him. And I won't bear false witness. But there are others that will just go around saying all kinds of things. Brother God make him the 8 messengers, you know, that he's one of the thunders and all these things. They're just telling lies. There are 3 things we all know that we all have been warned. Not just the ministers, but believers. 1, popularity. 2, wealth, money. And 3, women. Of course, for the woman is the man. These are the 3 things that we must take heed. Because these are the traps of Satan. But outside of these, well, all these lies and sowing of discord. Verse 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. But they that deal truly are his delight. Chapter 14, verse 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. 19:9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, but he that speaketh lies shall perish. Romans 3. Just remember that. Those that speaketh lies shall perish. Romans 3, verse 3 to 4. For what if some did not believe, shall your unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, But every man a liar, as it is written, that thou might be justified in your saying, and might overcome when thou art judged by sinners. See that? Let God be true, every man a liar. Nobody is perfect. Whenever you make a lie, you're convicted of your lie. You better go seek repentance. Repent before the Lord. And if you are constant, habitual liar, then I think you need to be really born again. Because I don't think you're born again if you're a habitual liar. You know, a liar cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Fornicator cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Murderers cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These are referring to those that are constantly on doing the things over and over again. And last we go and conclude with the verse that we read. 1 John 2:5. For whosoever keepeth his word in him varies the love of God, agape, perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Very clear. I don't think there is any way that you can say, I don't understand this verse. Whosoever keep his word, the word of God, in him, verily is the agape, or agape, as some pronounce it. God's love, agape, is perfected in you. And we know that we are in him because of that. That's the reason why the word of God is so important, because God's love is packaged to you in word form, manifest in Jesus Christ. No other way. There's no way that you can say, I don't know. I don't understand this. It's so as clear as daylight. Believe the word. Believe what God says in his word. As Paul said, all scriptures are given by inspiration. All scriptures in breath of God. Not the words of man. Not the words that are uttered by man. They are not in breath of God. Paul never said his word that he uttered, that they were in breath of God. Abraham never said that the word that he uttered were in breath of God. Neither did Moses said that. But the Bible did say it clearly. All scriptures, they are written down by the Holy Spirit. They are in breath of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and so on. That you and I may become a man perfect and matured in Christ Jesus. And I pray that you know that. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless thy holy name for thy word that you have given to us, Father. And I pray, Father, Lord, that this little fellowship here will continue to grow in thy grace. We thank you, Father, for those ministers out there in the Philippines. And we thank you, Father, Lord, for the fellowship out there too that holds to thy word, that walk in the light, that which you have shown them, Father, in this hour. How truthful, how important it is, therefore, Father, that we need to walk in the light that you have given us. For this very hour, Lord, our world is in darkness. There's so much trouble, Father, and distress and every nation. And there are fear, Lord, of what's coming. We know economy, Father, is taking a plunge now. It's just going down. And we know, Lord, America is going to have their new president next year. The election that will come, we know that will be a lot of stirring, Father. We ask that you help us, Father, when all this thing comes upon the earth, upon this world. May your Spirit, Lord, comfort us and help us to rejoice in the face of all this confusion. That we lift up our head unto Mount Zion and welcome with our help and believe that you will soon come and take us away. We look to you, Father, to guide us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.